Well, in looking at this issue of Judeo-Christianity, we have seen the conflict that Christ had with the Jews and with their Judaism. We have seen the conflict that between John the Baptist and these Jews and their Judaism. And we have seen the conflict between Peter and Paul and Judaism. And we have also seen that the Jews plotted the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he taught Christianity and because they saw him as a threat to their power and positions. So now we need to take a brief look at the writings of the Jews and what they have to say about Christ, you know, like in the 20th century. Has anything changed? And of course it hasn't. And I want to tell you before I get too far along that what I'm going to read to you out of the Jewish Encyclopedia is not pleasant to listen to. You see, I have in my possession a 12-volume set of the Jewish Encyclopedia. They're published by Funk and Wagnalls, a very reputable publishing house. This encyclopedia states that Jewish legends in regard to Christ are found in three sources. They're independent of each other. The first one being the New Testament Apocrypha and a Christian Works. Now, this is a writing of the Jews now, not ours. Second one in the Talmud and the Midrash. And third in a book called The Life of Jesus, which comes out of the Toledot, that originated in the Middle Ages. So the first thing I want to tell you is what this Jewish encyclopedia says about these three sources. It says on page 170 now, it is the tendency of all of these sources to belittle the person of Jesus by ascribing to him illegitimate birth, magic, and a shameful death. Did you get that? They ascribe to him an illegitimate birth, magic, and a shameful death. It goes on to say that the father of Jesus was a soldier by the name of Pandera. And quoting now on page 170 again says, it is certain in any case that the rabbinical sources also regard Jesus as the son of Pandera, a Roman soldier. It's getting good, huh? Or getting bad. This same encyclopedia, after referring to a Talmudic source regarding a dispute between Jesus and the scribes, continues by stating, all the Toledot editions contain a similar story of a dispute which Jesus carried on with the scribes, who on the ground of that dispute declared him to be a bastard. That's right. The Jewish writers and scribes declared Christ to be a bastard. Now, there's no beating around the bush with these words, folks. The Jewish Encyclopedia plainly refers to Christ as a bastard, being the son of a Roman soldier named Pandera. The Jews also ascribe the miracles that Christ performed to magic, and they say that he learned it in Egypt. This is what it has to say about it. Now, listen up. Page 171, same encyclopedia. Jesus learned magic in Egypt and performed his miracles by means of it. He cut the magic formulas into his skin. Different in nature is the witchcraft attributed to Jesus in the Toledot. The accusation of magic is frequently brought against Jesus. Now, did you get that? He learned miracles in Egypt? No, he learned magic in Egypt. And he cut these magic formulas into his skin. And these magic formulas are different in nature from the witchcraft which was attributed to Jesus. Did you get that? So magic and witchcraft are two different things, but he's got them both according to the Jewish Encyclopedia. Now, in reference to the healing of the sick, the Talmud also states, now get this, quote, that the disciples of Jesus healed the sick in the name of Jesus Pandera. And of course, they consider Pandera to be a Roman soldier, the father of Jesus Christ. That's right out of the Talmud now. In reference to the resurrection of Jesus and a future life, here's what the encyclopedia has to say. Now, again, hold on to your seats, folks. It is clear, therefore, that the Jewish legends deny the resurrection of Jesus. The assertion that Balaam, i.e. the prototype of Jesus, had no part in the future life must also be noted. The pupils of Balaam inherit hell. Now, did you understand that? Did you grasp the nature of what's being said here? The pupils of Balaam is a reference to Christians as follower of Jesus Christ, who is here called Balaam. And we're in hell. We're going to inherit hell. That's what he's saying. That they considered Balaam to be another name for Jesus is also found in this encyclopedia under the word Balaam in another section of the encyclopedia. It's found under Balaam, page 469. It says here, he became the type of a false prophet, seducing men to lewdness and obscene idolatrous practices, and hence also the pseudonym Balaam given to Jesus. That's right. Balaam is the pseudonym given to Jesus. And finally, I want you to know that according to this encyclopedia, Jesus Christ is in hell. That's right. Now, don't get confused because it's talking about a sister here of Titus. Quote, a son of Titus's sister desiring to embrace Judaism and called up from hell by magic, first Titus, then Balaam, and finally Jesus, who are here taken together as the worst enemies of Judaism. The worst enemies of Judaism. Who? Who? Jesus Christ, Balaam, and Titus. Well, certainly Jesus is an enemy of Judaism. There isn't any question about it from what we've learned in our past broadcasts. And again, the Jewish Encyclopedia minces no words here. It plainly states that Balaam and Jesus are the worst enemy of Judaism. The Jews place Christ and Balaam in the same category and have them both in hell. And you and I are going to inherit hell being Christians. Now, since Christ is perceived as one of the worst enemies of Judaism, does it not follow that Christianity has to be the worst enemy of Judaism? I'll tell you one thing is for sure. The Jews know there can be no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. But I'll tell you something else. They would have you believe it. That's right. They want you to believe in Judeo-Christianity so that you might better buy more of their other concepts. They do not see Judeo-Christianity. They see a victory of Judaism by and through the use of Judeo-Christianity. That's what they see. Well, I told you it was bad. And I'm not going to read to you anymore. It can go on and on and on. But now let's change and let's look and see what Christ had to say or his view of the Jews. Well, Scripture doesn't tell us by name or political party or by economics or by any religious organizations which ones are the right ones. We should have enough good sense to follow the guidance and example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a reading of John chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 23 should be enough. Should be enough to convince anyone that Jesus Christ was anti-Jew. Let's read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. You need to read John chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 23. But let's look at John chapter 8, verse 31, 44, and 47. Now, I've ran them together a little bit. And I'm going to add a word, the word Jew in here, other than the first time I'm adding. Jesus therefore said to those Jews which had believed him, ye Jews are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father it is your will to do. He that is of God heareth the words of God, for this cause ye Jews hear them not, because ye Jews are not of God. Pretty plain, isn't it? You see, prior to this, Jesus had been addressing the hard-nosed and proud, and now he turns his attention to Jews that believe. That's what it says, to those Jews which believed him. Not unbelieving Jews, mind you, but believing Jews. I think it has to be implied here that these believing Jews only professed to believe, or that their belief was not complete, one or the other. Perhaps they believed Christ, but yet failed to discard their beliefs in Judaism or their practices of Judaism. This would be belief, that is, unbelief. For to believe in Christ is to reject Judaism. And if they failed to reject Judaism, they would still be unbelievers, although they may profess to be believers. Belief without a change in life still amounts to unbelief. Christ seems to address the lack of a change in heart of these people by further stating, you know, the lusts of your father, it is your will to do. See, their works again. It would appear that mentally they were steeped in Judaism and the lust thereof. They still wanted to please the Sanhedrin council and the Pharisees and comply with their directives and the traditions of the elders. They were led captive by the Sanhedrin and the leaders. That's what was wrong. They were still filled with corrupt reasoning, corrupt pride, envy, wrath, malice, and enmity towards that which is good. These are the lusts of their father, Judaism, and these lusts were still within them. While they may have liked hearing the words of Christ, they understood not because they were not children of God. Let's not forget what Christ said in Matthew chapter 23 when he said, "Woe be unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites, ye serpents, ye offspring of vipers, how shall ye Jews escape the judgment of hell?" I do not know how Christ could have made his denunciation of the Jews and their leaders any clearer, or how he could have spoken in stronger language against Judaism without having to resort to the language of a sailor. It seems clear that Christ was anti-Jew. Now I ask you a question. Why is not the news media screaming at Jesus Christ for vilifying the Jews? Where are their screams of anguish protesting that Christ was anti-Semitic? Where are they? Since Christ was anti-Jew and spoke out against them, should we not also stand and, as Paul said, reprove them sharply to expose their corrupting works? And finally, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of people is it that would deny the Messiah, have him kill, and detest Christianity? And still do so unto this very day. Nothing has changed, folks, in 2,000 years.